Welcome to the EU Energy Projects podcast, a podcast series from Enlit and Friends, focusing on the clean energy transition for the European Union and the EU Commission-funded energy projects that will help us achieve it. My name is Areti Daradimou. I am the editor of the EU Energy Projects podcast and your host. Sustenance is an energy project funded by the EU Commission. It is aiming at empowering energy consumers by making it as easy as possible for them to participate in the energy transition by using smart technological concepts. Birgitte Bak-Jensen, the project's coordinator and my guest for this episode, will discuss with us the concept and objectives of the project. Hi, Birgitte, and thank you very much for being here with me today.
Thank you, and nice to be here.
Would you please describe in a few words Project Sustenance?
The Project Sustenance is an idea to get small villages or neighborhoods better energy with renewable energy introduction to their area, and where we put up a different multi-energy system so we take care of both the heat, the transportation and everything in the area, based on the wishes from the customers. So they are very much involved in the development. So we do not do a technical solution without their approval, I would say.
Which needs of the EU energy grid would you say it is covering, and how? I know that energy communities are very high in the EU Commission's agenda right now, but could you please elaborate for us?
Here, the idea is that we provide flexibility to the grid from these energy communities. So we aggregate the demands from the different customers in a way so we can provide flexibility both to the overall balancing of the grid by acting on the day-ahead market, but also so we can have better capacity limits on the local grid, avoiding grid congestions on the local grid.
So in a way, you actually help the DSO also, not only the energy communities, and you work as sort of a go-between the two of them to help demand response flexibility, right?
Yes, we are trying to focus on both sides. So we actually do the optimization at the private customers' basis, but also to actually try to help the DSO mitigate their congestion problems.
Do you think you can tell us in a short, let's say, sentence, who is involved in the project? I know that a consortium of a project is normally a big one, but can you briefly tell us who is involved?
The partners in the project is both the research institutions, universities, but we have also the local utilities, the DSO involved. We have the municipalities involved. We have also some householding companies involved. So we have the private customers aspect in the project. And then we have some private companies, industries who are developing the energy management systems that we are setting up in the local demonstration sites.
And which countries? From which countries are they?
In the project, we are making demonstration both in the Netherlands, in Poland, in Denmark, seen from European side, but also in this project, we have demonstrations in India at three different sites in India.
Oh, that's impressive. And we already mentioned that the target of this audience are DSOs and energy communities, but are we missing anyone?
I think we are also targeting the energy management developers, because they are the ones who have to set up the system in the different sites later on and develop the system so it can be replicated in many different places. So the small industry which are connected to the projects are actually also very much important, because they are needed to be able to develop this kind of control structures.
Now, if I understood correctly, one of the project's objectives is to develop smart technological concepts to enable the energy transition. Can you please elaborate on that? Are concepts the same thing as solutions, actually?
It's a concept in the first place, because we want to develop it so it can be applied both in, let's say, a microgrid in India as well as a local energy community or a local energy area in Europe. So we are putting up the concept as such, and then the actual control structure at the different site might be slightly different depending on the actual regulation. So it is in the first place the concept for how we are doing it, and then the actual control will be a bit local dependent regarding the demonstration site.
Did you know that Enlit has another podcast? The Energy Transitions podcast is a broad-ranging bi-weekly podcast about the people accelerating the energy transition in Europe and beyond. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now, given the diversity of our continents, Europe's various grids and consumers' mentalities or behaviors, and adding in the mix India also, how plausible is it to create something for everybody? And what were the main difficulties that you faced?
I would say the main difficulties is the regulation in the different countries and the setup there. But we can make a concept, because what it all is about is to try to utilize the PV production everywhere in the four countries as much as possible for the local side, taking as less as possible from the grid. So we optimize the control to use the much self consumption as possible. And in all sites, we have also storage facilities. So we try to, if we have our production, to store the energy and then use it later on. And then in Europe and in one of the sites in India, we have, of course, the possibilities to exchange energy also with the grid. But two of the actual sites in India is microgrids without any grid connection. So there we have to optimize it only within the grid and prioritize which demand are running now and which are not. Not to overload the local small grid, but also to use the energy in the stores as effective as possible.
So you would see it as a non-interconnected island? I mean, the same way that we use non-interconnected islands in Europe?
Yes.
For India. So, wow, that's impressive.
For India, yeah. So even though in Europe we try to operate it as maybe autarkic and isolated, we have, of course, the backup with the grid, but in India, we only have the backup in the battery. And then if that is empty, there are no energy until next day with sunshine.
Fair enough. You mentioned, however, regulation, and I want to come back to that a little bit. What are we missing in Europe? We can't obviously discuss about what is missing in India, but what are we missing in Europe when it comes to regulation to facilitate projects like sustenance, not only on an EU Commission level, perhaps even on a local authorities level?
I think one of the main obstacles that we have seen is actually how to form a local energy community, because even though that the EU regulation on local energy communities is from 2021 or 2022, it is not really effectuated in the local areas, and there are so much demand from the citizens to fulfill it. So a much clearer and easier way to go for the citizen wanting to form a local energy community is actually one of the obstacles that we have seen.
There are four pilots, right? Four demos, let's say, in the project. And one of the main objectives is to show how the same technological concept, for example, the coupling of different energy vectors, storage solutions, demand response, etc., can be applied in each case despite these differences. Can you elaborate on that? Can you tell us how are you going to make that possible, or how you did make it possible?
That is exactly about this, that we all places have PV, we have heat pumps, we have EV charging, we have storages. And the main concept is that we want to have as much self-consumption from the PV system as possible. So the overall hierarchical control of when to use energy and how to schedule the individual demands is more or less the same, no matter if the heat pump is used for driving food products in India, or it is used for heating in Denmark and the Netherlands. And the same for the car charging. We can schedule it and move it a bit so everything is not operating at the same time. And that is the case in all four demonstrations countries. So this concept about using the self-consumption, avoiding using fossil fuels and so on, and be much more dependent on the PV and the storage, is the same everywhere.
And which techs are you focusing on to advance your strategy? Is it digital twin or something completely different?
We are building up models, and then we have set a kind of hierarchical control structure, and using forecasts to actually predict what is going on for the next period. So if you are calling this digital twin or not, it's a bit about the wording, but we are making models, we are making forecast models to optimize and know when to use the energy directly from the PV, or when to store it, and when to use it directly from the battery and so on. So this is the message we are applying.
And you're getting your data from smart meters, SCADA, or all the above, what?
All places that are smart meters, that are measuring sensors and devices everywhere to do it, no matter if it's India or it's Netherlands or Poland. Yeah. So now, some part, for instance, in Poland, a lot of the budget was actually used to set up the smart meters, whereas in Netherlands and Denmark, the smart meters was already there more or less, and then you just use the data in your new energy management system.
So basically you chose some communities in Poland and you made sure that they had smart meters, or you actually placed the smart meters for them?
In Poland, we placed new smart meters and new measurement devices. In Denmark and Netherlands, there was already smart meters. In India, everything is new because they have no grid at all.
Fair enough. Now, the project is ending this year, right? And do you have any lessons learned that, let's say, some wisdom that you can perhaps pass along to new projects about the issues, the difficulties that you had to encounter, but also the good stuff? Like, what did you get out of it?
I think we have got a very strong community between the researchers, but also the learnings from the different countries about how to tackle this kind of setup. Because there's a very big difference if you are in India or if you are in Europe. But when it comes to all, many of the findings and the message to energy, do the energy management is the same. So this about learning how to use it in different applications is what we can really use as a guideline for others as well. And then also this about having the citizens involved, so it is their wishes that we actually are trying to fulfill, so they are satisfied with the solution from the start on. It's also a very big learning that you have to do the technical solutions based on the input from the citizens, because then they will much better adapt the system and really use it also in the future, instead of we are setting up some technical solution that they might not really use in the end because it was not really their wishes. But here we make a kind of bottom up, so we have much higher user satisfaction and understanding of what is going on, because this understanding is also needed to really use the different technical solutions that we have set up.
All in all, was it a positive experience, this journey with the European Commission and this project? Would you recommend it to other people in your position?
It was really a nice learning and a very good cooperation between the different countries. And this discussion about how regulation applies in different setups and how people behave in different countries is also a very big learning of the project, that these SSH input is really important to make it able to be replicated anywhere else later on, because it is a bit, even though the same technical solution apply, the regulation and the people make it slightly different. And this learning is actually something that we will bring forward in guidelines as well as a project result beside the actual innovation from our technical industrial partners.
And on this positive note, Birgitte, I want to thank you very much for this very interesting discussion.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the EU Energy Projects podcast. a podcast brought to you by Enlit and Friends. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, and the Enlit World website. Just hit subscribe, and you can access our other episodes too. I'm Areti Daradimu. Thank you for joining us.